With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. Today is Wednesday, November 15th. Coming up in today's show, we talk with Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue about labor programs and California farming. But first, here's Brian German.
The heavy spring rain California experienced this year made blight in walnut orchards difficult to control. Growers preparing for next year need to be vigilant with their first spray applications. Luke Milliron is the Orchard Systems Advisor for Cooperative Extension in Butte, Glynn, and Tehama counties. He noted some of the research that's been conducted, highlighting the importance of those first and second applications in springtime and how effective they are in combating blight.
If you hadn't sprayed at all, you'd have 50% blight. And if you sprayed at 20% of prayer stage, then you would have knocked that down in half. Just that one spray. And then if you follow that up 7 to 10 days later, that second spray, it dropped it down to around 4%. And that percentage of reduction really didn't change with subsequent sprays in that particular study, but just showing that those first two sprays are so critical.
I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
What could possible new labor programs mean for California? Taylor Hillman talks with Sonny Perdue.
Agnet West got a chance to sit down with Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue. I asked Perdue about the new H2C program and if it would be modified to further benefit producers.
Well, I was just in California over the weekend and talked to some of your producers and growers with the H2C program. What Chairman Goodlett had to do to get it out of the committee was, frankly, water it down considerably, and we're hopeful so much of that can be restored. Right now, they don't see much functionality with it as it's designed, although I think it's a start. We want to continue the ball in the air, moving down the field to see if we can get a legal guest worker program for agricultural producers. We think it's vital for the future. Our farmers are rule followers. They want to be compliant. They don't want to be looking over their shoulder. They don't want their employees to be looking over their shoulder. It's incumbent upon us as a U.S. government to give them a program where they can hire people who are legal and they're happy at that point when we have that kind of program to participate in an E-Verify program. They can't afford that until we get something that's a legal guest worker program, and then they're going to be compliant with the law.
I'm Taylor Hillman for Agnet West Radio Network.
In other agriculture news today, the American Farm Bureau Federation says reaching an agreement that works for all sectors of agriculture in the North American Free Trade Agreement is critical for farmers and ranchers. Michael Clements has more.
The NAFTA renegotiations provide an opportunity to improve agricultural trade across partner countries. However, recent rhetoric and delays in the renegotiation are giving way to rising concerns over the trade deal's future. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst says U.S. agriculture depends on NAFTA.
We hope we'll see progress in the NAFTA renegotiations. There's obviously progress that can be made. Phytosanitary problems at the border, improvements in our trade in dairy with the Canadians. But 70% of Missouri farmers' exports go to either Canada or Mexico. We depend on this trade agreement.
He says recent rhetoric regarding trade is troubling to farmers, especially after Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, who understands NAFTA's positive impact on agriculture, has publicly expressed concern about the trade agreement's future.
That's something that'll keep you up at night. And I know that Secretary Perdue is a very smart and very capable and leader of agriculture, and we're glad to have him where he is. But if he's that concerned, then I'm really concerned.
Withdrawal or failure to reach an agreement for NAFTA, Hurst says, would result in an economic disaster for agriculture.
Tariffs on our exports to Mexico, for example, are zero. They would go up to an average of 15%. So you see a 15% price increase, and you're going to see a probably less than 15% drop in demand, but maybe not. Maybe it's greater than that. You start talking about a 10 or 15% decline in already unprofitable prices, and you're talking about an economic emergency for agriculture.
Michael Clements, Washington.
Sharp declines in U.S. rice production will likely bring higher prices this marketing year. Gary Crawford has more.
Rice growers are one of the very few producers expected to get more for this year's crop than last season.
Part of that's what we've seen is a big year-over-year decline in U.S. production. A big part of that being the reduction in area.
USDA Outlook Chairman Seth Meyer says producers harvested 23% fewer acres, producing a 20% smaller crop at 178.4 million hundredweight. On the demand side, compared to expectations a month ago, Meyer's team of analysts projecting
exports down 2 million hundredweight, long grain and the medium short both down, and carry out stocks up by a little over 2 million hundredweight.
Again, compared to last month's forecast. Result, USDA chopping 20 cents off of its previous rice price forecast.
Still a good year-over-year increase in rice prices.
Very good increase, $2.60. Rice growers expected to be getting an average of around $13 a hundredweight. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Control weeds from the start with the proven long-lasting power of Chateau Herbicide SW. Chateau controls more than 90 annual broadleaf and grass weeds in orchards and vineyards, including marestail, fleabane, mallow, and more. Unlike the competition, Chateau can be applied to non-bearing orchards and vineyards after planting for early protection. Take control and keep control of tough weeds with Chateau Herbicide. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valet.com/chateau. Always read and follow label instructions.
Step right up and gaze upon this miraculous substance I hold in the palm of my hands. This little miracle can feed us, clothe us, give us clean, fresh water, and provide wildlife habitat for nature's critters. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the greatest soil on earth.
Learn more about soil health principles that can turn your soil into a star performer. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today to find out how. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
There's nothing convenient about losing profit. A two-implant program utilizing component TE200 with Tylan as the terminal implant increases feed efficiency by 3.8% over Revelor XS. That's more than a $15 feed savings per animal. And only Elanco's component implants give you the added benefit of Tylan's abscess defense. Contact your Elanco sales rep or visit elanco.us/implants today. The label contains complete use information, including cautions and warnings. Always read, understand, and follow label directions.
We all have challenges, and as an almond grower, you're no exception. From grinding in the summer to planting in the off-season, you're put to the test every year. Let us help you turn those challenges into opportunities. Join Almond Board of California at the Sacramento Convention Center from December 5th through the 7th to learn what new research, technology, and equipment means for your operation. Industry experts want to speak with you. Are you ready to take hold of your next opportunity? Register for the Almond Conference today at almondconference.com.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's Almond Matters, brought to you by Valent USA Corporation, getting an effective pre-emergent down before the rains begin is going to be the strongest defense against weeds like hairy fleabane and mare's tail. Our Brian German talks with Tino Lopez, Field Market Development and Research Field Representative for Valent.
My name is Tino Lopez. I'm Field Market Development and Research Field Rep for Valent USA in California.
And we were just kind of talking about the issue of fleabane being pretty tough this time of year. It can be especially important before the rains come down to really take a proactive approach to fighting fleabane.
Yes, fleabane and mare's tail are two of the toughest weeds that farmers have to contend with in today's agricultural production. The university has uncovered that there are two biotypes of this weed, one that germinates in the fall and the other one that requires a little bit more seed conditioning, but it remains in the seed form until the spring and it germinates then. The impact of both of these biotypes can be devastating if growers don't get on top of it.
And so right now, before the rains kind of start to come in, would be a really important time to get a good pre-emergent down to make sure that those don't take hold over winter.
That's correct. The fall germinating biotype of fleabane and mare's tail will germinate as soon as we get a significant rain event this fall, and they will begin to grow, especially their root. They develop a very deep tap root system, And even though over the winter months, because of the cooler weather, you don't see a lot of top growth, they are establishing a strong root, which makes them very difficult to control in later applications.
And you had kind of suggested something like a two-prong approach of early fall and kind of late winter, correct?
Our recommendation with Chateau, which is our pre-emergent herbicide, is to make a split application, one about this time of year in anticipation of the first major rainfall event. Try to get those that will germinate from popping through. And then coming back in late winter, whether it be January, late January, early February, and hitting it again to have enough herbicide power in there to catch that second biotype that will be germinating in the spring.
And if you don't really kind of act proactively on this, growers could be trying to work from behind come springtime, correct?
Yes, and what happens is as this weed has developed this strong taproot, when we try to control it in the spring, say with burn-down herbicides, we basically kill the top of it, what we see on top, but then just below the soil surface are quite a few latent buds that will just, as soon as you get the top kill, will sprout and will take off with a vengeance. It grows fairly fast once we get the warm weather. It's a very prolific, they're both very prolific seed producers, and you now have a seed bed that you've created that you're going to have to contend with for years to come.
Well, in today's livestock news, we told you last week that the World Health Organization had issued recommendations on the use of antibiotics in agriculture and the fact that USDA Acting Chief Scientist Dr. Shavonda Jacobs-Young said the WHO guidelines are not in alignment with U.S. policy and are not supported by sound science. Well, AgNet Media had a chance to ask Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue his thoughts on the WHO's recommendations.
Well, our stand is for America, and while we are members of the WTO, the WHO, we find an international effort many times to be used in science as a protectionist mechanism more than a helpful mechanism. And I think while we all are for antimicrobial judicious use, sometimes, I think the president felt that way with the Paris Accord. When we get with these international partners, sometimes science is used to make rules that hurt Americans, and that's what we're fighting in that area.
So the fight will continue?
The fight will continue, certainly, and we have to determine over these kind of things what level of participation we will have going forward. But we're taking stringent steps for antimicrobial resistance in America, and we think it's judicious use. We're making a lot of progress in that, but the things that the WHO is coming out with are things that we can't wholeheartedly agree with at this time.
Now, the WHO says overuse and misuse of antibiotics in both animals and humans is contributing to the buildup of antibiotic resistance. But the National Pork Producers Council called the ban on disease prevention uses of antibiotics in animal food production ill-advised and wrong. Current Food and Drug Administration policy says medically important antibiotics should not be used for promoting growth in animals. FDA does allow antibiotic use for treating, controlling, and preventing disease in food production animals under the direction of veterinarians. Well, JD.com Incorporated says it will buy $2 billion worth of U.S. goods, over half of which will be beef and pork. The deal was announced at the same time that President Trump was in China. JD.com, China's second largest online mall, will buy more than $1.2 billion worth of beef from the Montana Stock Growers Association and pork from Smithfield Foods over the next 3 years. The company released a statement after a signing ceremony last week, saying that the deal is part of a commitment to buy a wide range of U.S. goods. American companies that made the trip with the president and China announced the deals worth about $9 billion. China has officially reopened its borders to American beef, but there hasn't been a lot of movement as yet, as only a limited supply does meet Chinese import requirements. China is the world's biggest pork producer, consumer, and importer. JD.com CEO said the Chinese consumers will rest assured knowing they will be able to purchase safe, high-quality meat products imported from the U.S. Beef is the fastest-growing meat sector in China, and the country is the world's fastest-growing overseas market for beef. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on the longest water war in the U.S. sometime before the end of this year. You know that decades-old battle is between Florida and Georgia, and it's mostly about the flow of water from Georgia into Florida. Those involved expect a ruling sometime in early 2018, but that ruling is not likely to end the feud. It may settle the issues that the case represents, but it's fairly certain that new issues will be brought up. One environmentalist had that opinion anyway. Until states and the two governors get their differences settled, other issues will come up. And when they do, the water from Georgia's Chattahoochee and Flint Rivers, which become the Apalachicola River as it crosses the state boundaries, will very likely continue. Maybe another 20 years. Who knows? And that's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
Jamie Johansson has today's interview. Here's Jamie.
We are at the American Land booth at the 2017 NAFB Trade Talk. Jim Percival, American Land Board Chairman, is here with me. Big news coming from Lamb this week. Feed Your Adventurous Side is a brand new campaign that you guys have recently launched. Give me the details.
We're extremely excited about the Feed Your Adventurous Side campaign. The Lamb Board did a tremendous amount of research, working with not only our producers, but our consumers and several of our partners, and have come to the conclusion that there is an entire group of folks out there that are looking for something different. And Lamb really meets the needs. And it's not just the lamb and that wonderful protein that you get from the lamb. It's the entire lifestyle, that adventurous lifestyle of the group of people that are looking for that versatile protein. And the research has shown that we need to work closely not only with those consumers, but our producers, and make sure that we're meeting the needs of that group.
And the group you're talking about is millennials, you know, targeting the younger generation. And as a millennial, I can testify, hey, I'm a beef producer, but I'm always ready for something different and new. And it's our generation. And so take me through some target marketing directed to these young millennials.
Well, one of the things, it's the lifestyle. And you just stated it. And what we want to make sure that we do is we put a product out there that meets that adventurous lifestyle. We want to try something different. We don't want the same old thing day after day after day. You know, folks are always looking to do something new. That group of folks, as you know, we want something different. And so we have, worked with our producers, worked with our partners to make sure that we're meeting those needs. Whether it's chili on a Friday night, or pizza, a slice of lamb pizza, or whether it's, your white tablecloth and you're bringing people over, a Thanksgiving meal featuring lamb. And we are very, very excited that we are able to meet that need.
Talk about flavor, because sometimes misconceptions when it comes to lamb and the preparation of it is taste. So take me through some research that you guys have conducted on flavor.
Working with our partners at Colorado State University and Ohio State University, we've been able to develop some flavor profiles. And what we're doing right now is the next step in that research is to refine the things that create those flavor profiles so that we can make sure that when the consumer, regardless of who the consumer is, when they go to the grocery store and pick up that American lamb, they're getting exactly the flavor that they expect. Because as you know, you said you're a beef producer, as you know, there's a difference in taste of a 4-year-old cow as there are, for a 12 or 13, 14 month old steer. And the same thing, the flavor profiles with lamb are the same thing. And so what we've done is identified those things that create or take away from those flavors. And now we're working on a way to make sure that the consumer gets exactly what they want and is a very consistent product.
Let's talk more about the menu, lamb menu. What's on the plate? What type of cuts and dishes are trending right now?
Everything. That's the great thing about lamb. It's the most versatile protein in the world. Last month, I was at the Tulane School for Culinary Medicine and working with them on lamb. And we created everything from braised shanks all the way to lamb burgers, lamb mushroom burgers, lamb chili, lamb pizza, fajitas, anything you can think of, you can create with lamb and make it a great meal for your family, a great meal to entertain with, but anything you can think of, you can make with lamb.
Let's talk about you yourself. I'm guessing because of the passion and enthusiasm you have for the industry that you raise them yourself?
Yes, ma'am. I am a sheep producer from Ohio. We have a small, when you compare us to the Western guys, we're small. When you compare us to the Eastern guys, we're a mid-size. We raise Shropshires. Then we have a commercial flock. I direct market to a grocery store, a small independent grocery. And that's why I'm so passionate about making sure the consumer gets what they want, is because I see my customers every day. I can see every lamb that I take to that grocery store. I see the finished product. So I am passionate about making sure that our customers get what they want.
Jim Percival, American Lamb Board Chairman, talking about the Feed Your Adventurous Side new campaign from the American Lamb Board here at the 2017 NAFB Trade Talk. I'm Jamie Johansson.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Control weeds from the start with the proven long-lasting power of Chateau Herbicide SW. Chateau controls more than 90 annual broadleaf and grass weeds in orchards and vineyards, including marestail, fleabane, mallow, and more. Unlike the competition, Chateau can be applied to non-bearing orchards and vineyards after planting for early protection. Take control and keep control of tough weeds with Chateau Herbicide. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valent.com/chateau. Always read and follow label instructions.
Step right up and gaze upon this miraculous substance I hold in the palm of my hands. This little miracle can feed us, clothe us, give us clean, fresh water, and provide wildlife habitat for nature's critters. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the greatest soil on earth.
Learn more about soil health principles that can turn your soil into a star performer. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today to find out how. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
There's nothing convenient about losing profit. A two-implant program utilizing component TE200 with Tylan as the terminal implant increases feed efficiency by 3.8% over Revelor XS. That's more than a $15 feed savings per animal. And only Elanco's component implants give you the added benefit of Tylan's abscess defense. Contact your Elanco sales rep or visit elanco.us/implants today. The label contains complete use information, including cautions and warnings. Always read, understand, and follow label directions.
We all have challenges, and as an almond grower, you're no exception. From grinding in the summer to planting in the off-season, you're put to the test every year. Let us help you turn those challenges into opportunities. Join Almond Board of California at the Sacramento Convention Center from December 5th through the 7th to learn what new research, technology, and equipment means for your operation. Industry experts want to speak with you. Are you ready to take hold of your next opportunity? Register for the Almond Conference today at almondconference.com.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We have another feature interview for you, this from Chuck Zimmerman.
At the NAFB Trade Talk, I'm visiting with USDA and the National Agricultural Statistics Service. I have with me, Barbara, just tell me your name and what you do for NAF.
You bet. I am Barbara Rader. I'm the director of our Census and Survey Division with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
What a coincidence, because I wanted to talk about the census. We have the 2017 Census of Agriculture coming up here. Tell us where we're at and what it is that you need farmers to do.
Well, where we're at is the Census of Agriculture is conducted every 5 years by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The last census was conducted in 2012. So in about 2 weeks, we will be mailing out over 2 million census questionnaires to every farmer and rancher in the U.S.
How much of a process is that for them to complete it?
Well, we're hoping that we've made it a little more convenient, a little easier for them this year. We've worked to pretty much redo our web form, meaning that the census questionnaire is now on the internet so that producers can go out and complete the census at their leisure. It's modern, it's robust, it will do a lot of things to make the process and the experience more positive. They can complete it on their tablet, they can complete it on their cell phone. They will also receive a questionnaire if their preference would be to complete it. So we're hoping every time we do a census that we lay it out and we put it in a way that makes it a little easier for the farmer to complete.
How would you describe the importance of them doing this and making sure they get their form complete?
I'd say completing the census is critical. It's definitely by far the largest data collection effort that we do at NAS. We conduct hundreds of surveys annually, but the census being done every 5 years and it's in the hands of every farmer and rancher make it particularly important, because not only are we able to see if the results of the last census had any impact, but now we're able to capture anything new and emerging in terms of trends in agriculture that now policies that are being developed moving forward will be informed by the census. New this year, if you're interested. We're going to be asking questions on really who is making the decisions on the farm. Are those that have served in the military? Is it our veterans? We've got questions on there that are new this year on veterans that are entering agriculture, new and beginning farmers, and those that are making decisions on the farm. So very excited to see what that's going to yield us in February of 2019 when we release.
Well, I remember when we didn't really have computer questions, for example. How about with new technologies, just since the last one, not just computers, but mobile technology, the precision, the explosion in what we call the precision ag sector. Any kinds of questions going to be in there that might help us get a handle on how that adoption has been, for example?
Now, if let's say that we see, as you said, and using your words, an explosion, you know, a lot of people in that arena, then what we could do moving forward is we might be able to do a special study to address those needs and get more information, or perhaps even expand the census next time to get more information on it.
So is there anything else we didn't touch on here about the upcoming census you might want to say to farmers?
Yes, I'd say please fill out your census questionnaire. It's really your opportunity to have your collective voice be heard, and it's not just some farmers, it's every farmer in the U.S. And let's by completing it, we'll be able to really paint a picture of where it is that agriculture and what the contribution of agriculture.
Well, we're going to do our best to make sure we get that word out there. Thank you very much, Barbara, for visiting with me here at the NAFB Trade Talk session taking place in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.
Wrapping up your agriculture news for today. The topic of Canada's Class 7 milk pricing program came up during a news conference with Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue during the NAFB convention last week in Kansas City, Missouri. Perdue says the new program is using supply management with a quota.
It's using a supply management system with quota and very high prices for their consumers to let them overproduce and then push the solids off on the world market. And that's just not right. And we will challenge them on that.
He says that he does not expect Canada to end its supply management program, but says they need to manage the supply.
I told the Minister McCauley there, I said, you know, I don't necessarily need for you to remove your supply management system, but if you're going to have one, manage the supply so it doesn't depress world prices from solids, not only affecting us, but many other countries.
Purdue says the U.S. will continue to press Canada to end the Class 7 pricing system as part of the NAFTA renegotiations. AARP is warning rural Americans to make sure folks take steps to protect their families and their farms from fraud. Michael Clements has more.
AARP recently announced it was partnering with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service to raise awareness within the veteran community of scams targeting veterans. However, as Oklahoma State Director Sean Vosko points out, fraud affects everyone, including the farming community.
It's no secret that many veterans come from rural America or even the farm. The same scams targeting our veterans are similar to scams targeting our farmers today. So while farmers may not be the focus of this effort by AARP, they stand to benefit just as much. From attacking benefits to identity theft, all frauds seek the same thing, scamming you out of your hard-earned money. There's business opportunity scams that even target farmers to look out for as well, including a worm farm scam from a decade ago.
Voskal offers these tips to help protect your farm from fraud or scams.
Protect you, your families, and even any farm employees' personal information, and don't carry your Social Security card in your wallet. Keep a close watch on your credit reports. You get one free report a year from the top three credit bureaus as required by the federal government, online at annualcreditreport.com. Also, be sure to protect your information online. And remember, if anything sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Learn more Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD TV or online at aarp.org/AARP Live. Michael Clements reporting.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.